Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, the 12th of October. We're back live with you this week. One of the regular features here on Issues Etc. is the sermon review. We've been doing these, oh golly, now for probably 5 or 6 years on the program, reviewing sermons good and bad. Now, the really, it's one task, but it has two different aspects. When we review a sermon that is patently bad, I mean the kind of sermon that, at least according to the criteria we use, how often is Jesus mentioned? Is Jesus a subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? I'll go back over that in just a second. When it fails this test to simply be Christ-centered, if not cross-focused, the reason we review bad sermons is because you learn a lot by tuning your ears to listen for things that aren't there. You learn a lot more about what the preacher thinks is important, whatever he's preaching, not only by what he talks about, but what he fails to talk about. Not only by what he mentions, but what he fails to mention. Not only by what he emphasizes, but by what he fails to emphasize. So that's a good reason. It's instructive. It's a good way to learn to tune your ears, to listen for the right things in Christian preaching. But we also review good sermons, good examples of Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching by the very same criteria, by the way. And we review them because you kind of have to hear what it sounds like sometimes, especially if you're one of those Christians who sits in the pew on Sunday morning and you've come to realize, to your own sadness, that your preacher very seldom mentions Jesus. Or if he does mention Jesus, it's by way of what you feel about Jesus, what you do for Jesus, how you follow the example Jesus has set. And Jesus comes out as kind of, role model. You know, he's really no better than, or maybe just slightly better than any other role model you might pick in the world. And to review the good sermons is to also tune our ears to hear what it really does sound like. You know, they say this of music. If you've never been exposed to truly good music, it's hard to distinguish good music from bad. Why? Because you haven't heard what the good sounds like. There's also another reason, and that is this. This is precisely what the church has been commanded to do, to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, not in any other name, and not in the name of some generic God out there, the big man upstairs, to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus to all nations. That command is still in force. In fact, Jesus tells us that this is exactly what should be preached, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that with that message, repentance, the forgiveness of sins, is preached in his name. So what are you supposed to listen to? It's our simple three-part diagnostic. It doesn't cover everything, but it does cover the most important thing. How often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally. You've seen those little cartoons of the prisoner making keeping time in his cell, how he keeps a little hash mark next to every day he spent in the big house. Well, that's what you need to do during the sermon. Keep a simple running tally of how often the preacher mentions Jesus. Is it 2 times, 3 times? Does he mention Jesus all over the sermon? Keep a running tally. Now, if you've got a good preacher, you might find, at least according to this first criteria, that you run out of space for all those little hash marks. But this isn't God in a generic sense. This is not a God. Ask yourself, is the God that's being proclaimed to me in this sermon, would it sound just perfectly reasonable to a Muslim, to a Jew, to a Mormon? Specific mentions of Jesus himself. How many are there? Then, if your pastor does mention Jesus, go on to part two. That is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Is this a sermon about what you do for Jesus, what you think about Jesus, what you feel about Jesus, or, in essence, a sermon about you? Or is it a sermon about Jesus where Jesus does the doing, where he's the one running the verbs? He's the one driving the action. And if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, and after all, Jesus tells us this is what we ought to be looking for in Scripture. You search the scriptures, you are searching for eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me And if it testifies about Jesus, you're talking about what Jesus did for you, what he does for you. That's the proper testimony to Jesus. If Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then you have to ask one more question, and that is, what are those verbs? The devil is in the details. You can hear a sermon chock full of mentions of Jesus, but is this Jesus the example? Jesus the inspiration? Jesus the motivator? Jesus the life coach? Jesus the one who helps you when you're down, but he doesn't do much more than help? Are these the verbs of Scripture, which portray Christ crucified, suffering, risen from the dead for us, the forgiver of sins, the shower of mercy? Or is this the Jesus of pop culture and pop psychology, the Jesus who simply shows you how to do it, or inspires you to do it, or motivates you to do it, a giver of good advice? So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he a subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? When you're done, you can step back from the sermon and say, what problem has the preacher diagnosed in me? Is it sin or just stress or a lack of time or something like that? And what is the remedy the preacher has provided for me in this sermon explicitly for my problem? Sin needs a savior. Stress just needs, what, a back rub. Here's the sermon from Pastor Matt Harrison, preached recently at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis to the faculty and students studying to be pastors. So bear that in mind. He's talking to a very specific group of men there. On the occasion of St. Michael and All Angels, Pastor Matt Harrison of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's World Relief and Human Care.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Two texts, Daniel 12. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. And then the epistle from St. Michael and All Angels, Revelation 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. As a synodical bureaucrat, I feel a strange compulsion to stand in this pulpit and express my concern about an institution which is financially challenged, operating with deficit budgets, suffering layoffs and early retirements, all while tenured heads long absent from actual parish ministry lead others in studying outmoded paradigms of ministry, eager to impress their respective guilds. The cost of maintenance has raised the specter of the sale of the property, and the constant question of cost effectiveness of the model is brought into question the whole operation. Perhaps it should be closed, reorganized, or have its functions spread out all over the country. But I'm not here to talk about where I work. On this Michaelmas, I bring you good news. Satan has been cast down, conquered by the blood of the Lamb, the text says, no less than four times cast down. Kai eblethe ho trakon, the great dragon has been cast down, that snake cast down by the blood of the Lamb, the same snake who would deceive you with forbidden fruit of sex and lies and pride and envy and anger, and especially today for you, anxiety and fear. Eblethe ho Satanas, Satan has been cast down. Diabolos has been cast down, the accuser is cast down, the deceiver of the whole world cast down by the blood of the Lamb, who still accuses you. For there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are indeed guilty of grave sins. In fact, you're not capable of a single act a single thought, a single deed which is pure. All our righteous acts are as filthy rags. You feel guilty because you are guilty. But the accuser and his cohort, your troubled conscience, are cast down, says the text. Eblethe eistein gain, cast down to the earth, are all the devil's angels with him. Cast down all of them. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. All cast down. Eblethe ho kategor ton adelphon, cast down is the accuser of the brothers.
We'll come back to the sermon in just a minute. On the other side of the break, we're reviewing a sermon by Pastor Matt Harrison. He's executive director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care, preaching at the Chapel of St. Timothy in Titus recently on the occasion of St. Michael and All Angels. He mentioned it there. And the primary texts there are about the casting down of Satan. So far, ample mentions of Jesus Christ and his saving work, his shed blood, the Lamb of God, by whose blood all of these forces are cast down. He's doing something very simple here. He's simply walking through the text. The words you may not understand, or he's actually reading from the Greek text. That's appropriate for this audience here. This is a group of seminary students who at least should know their original languages and should be deeply immersed in them themselves. And he's talking about, especially at a time of great anxiety for everyone, not just for beleaguered seminary students and faculty. He's talking about the conquest of Christ over Satan. This is biblical stuff. This is the great overarching theme that we find from Genesis to Revelation. Christ coming to crush Satan's head and cast him down. Care to react? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Plenty of time for your phone calls on the other side of the break as we review this sermon by Pastor Matt Harrison. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's what Pastor Bill Swirla had to say on a recent Issues Etc. broadcast about the new Lutheran Study Bible.
What we've had in the past is kind of a Lutheran revision of an NIV Study Bible, so there's always a certain yes, but character to it. This is done by Lutheran theologians and Lutheran exegetes, and I think it's something that we can use confidently in our Bible studies and home devotions and other places.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible online. Just look for the cover at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Well, welcome back to Issues, Etc. 10 more minutes in our review of this sermon by Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care, and God willing, next President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, preaching on St. Michael and all angels, so far comforting us with the true comfort that comes from Christ's victory over sin, death. And we often leave out the devil because the devil is still our enemy. Yes, sin, death, and the devil by his shed blood at the cross. Before we get back to the review, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for the month of October. It was so good in September, we brought it back for October. The Lutheran Study Bible. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, right there on the homepage, issuesetc.org. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask them and order the Lutheran Study Bible, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible, the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for October. Now, there are pretenders to the pulpit who say that they're here to encourage us. Joel Osteen, pastor of the largest could be a Lutheran church in some neighborhoods, who knows, largest mega church in the United States, he says he wants to be an encourager, and that's why he doesn't mention sin. And if you don't mention sin, here's how the logic works. If you don't mention sin, you don't need to mention a Savior. If sin isn't a problem, you don't need a Savior. If your problem is just bad habits, all you need is advice on how to improve yourself, and that's all Joel gives. And yet he says he's an encourager. But how great the encouragement is to hear not only of our sin, our great guilt before God, but of the solution to our sin, our death, and the conquest of our great enemy Satan by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, as we're hearing in this sermon. And there are also preachers who should know better. They spend a lot of time in the pulpit every Sunday preaching about preaching the gospel, but not preaching the gospel. They encourage the people to go out and share the good news, and they don't share the good news. By contrast, more of this sermon from Pastor Matt Harrison.
And it is God's own mighty voice from heaven. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. Now, why does this matter today for you here in this place? Why does it matter that Satan has been cast down with all its host? Because in these last times, it's all too easy to be downcast. It's all too easy to be downcast. Did you know Dr. Walther went through a complete mental and physical breakdown in 1859? He had just come through a fundraising campaign to build another building with the seminary. His friends Winneken and Kramer came and told him, "Dr. Walther, you need to back away from the parishes you serve, the seminary," and he took a sabbatical. We'd call it clinical depression today. Did you know that Friedrich Winneken, who taught at this seminary from 1850, from the time he was president of the synod through 1860, also suffered a life full of depression and difficulty, clinical depression? He says to Walther, "I've wrestled with it my whole life since I was a young child." Did you know Franz Pieper, who was struggling with leading this institution and the Synod, had a complete mental and physical breakdown in 1910? Church work is hard business, and especially work in her institutions is difficult. But all three of these men knew the truth of Luther's words, "Occendo vivificat," by killing he makes alive. The cross. And each one, because of the challenges they face, and this will be true of every one of you going out in the parish, the more the difficulties you face, the challenges, the crosses, these will make you the kind of leader, the kind of pastor the Lord would have you be. His own, after his own heart. And so you have compassion for those around you, who are hurting, who are homeless, who are sick, who are widowed, orphaned, and suffering disaster. The pressure is on here and now. This is the most famous institution for the cause of the blessed truth of the gospel in the entire world. Your task here is enormously challenging in this day and age of quick fixes, of gross ignorance, of cultural foment, and theological chaos. And Satan well knows what this institution has meant for Christ and his kingdom's advance all over the world. One student armed with the biblical languages, ready to preach and teach the blessed gospel for a lifetime. One student who can do theology in context and remain Lutheran. One graduate who can take his incarnational theology and live it in the midst of his people. One student who determines to be a missionary where he's put is worth 100 whiz-bang programs. But know this. Daniel 12 applies directly to this community today. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, wise with the wisdom of the divine word. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Jesus prays. The text says, he has compassion on them, that great splachnidzestai word. Jesus has compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And what does he say? Pray the Lord of the harvest send workers. And every one of those prayers is a prayer for this place. The greatest missionary endeavor of the Missouri Synod happens here and at our Fort Wayne Seminary, training preachers of the word to speak the word today. In a world that has never been fuller of opportunities for us, with the demise of the ELCA, doors open around the world, which were never open before, to take the blessed gospel and the teaching of Martin Luther. It's the moment. Luther lectured that in this last chapter of Daniel, Michael and the angels are actually Christ and the ministers of the gospel. Although, to be sure, Michael, he said, is an angel's name, yet we understand here also in Revelation 12, the Lord Christ himself is Michael, who here on earth with his angels, that is preachers, fights against the devil by the gospel. May Christ and his holy angels watch over us, and may we holy angels, preachers of the gospel, go forth from this place, not cast down, but knowing Satan and his minions are indeed cast down. Don't be downcast. Satan has been cast down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, that's the sermon from Pastor Matt Harrison on the occasion of St. Michael and all angels. Christ often mentioned? Check. What are the verbs? Christ victorious, shedding his blood, victorious in his cross, victorious in his death, over sin, death, and the devil. Those are all the right verbs. Check. This is all about what Christ has done and not about what we do. The emphasis that I appreciate, and it was just kind of tossed in there at the end, but I think it's one I'd like to draw out for your attention, is this notion that those who have been called and prepared and sent to preach the gospel, as we heard so beautifully preached here by Pastor Matt Harrison, that these are missionaries. Now, you might call him pastor. You might see him every Sunday, and he doesn't travel to exotic climates, but just maybe into the pulpit of your church every Sunday. When he is preaching the gospel, Christ and him crucified for sinners, every Sunday, every sermon, he is a missionary. He is doing the work of an evangelist. He is carrying out the mission of the church. Your pastor, if he is this faithful in this way, he is your missionary. And anyone who tells you that a pastor who faithfully preaches God's word of law and gospel and faithfully administers the gifts of God's grace in the sacraments is not a missionary, anyone who asserts this and says, no, missionaries are people who go out and try these new paradigms, these new programs. Missionaries are those who feel a heart for the lost, regardless of what they preach or do. Anyone who tells you that a faithful pastor, wherever he is, however large his parish, however, wherever he may be located, that a faithful pastor isn't one of Christ's missionaries, such a person simply does not, well, I guess they either don't understand what the real mission of the church is, or They failed to see that the gospel, the message of Christ and Him crucified for sinners, is the mission of the church. Any preacher who can stand in the pulpit and preach to you about preaching the gospel, urge you to go share the good news, but neither preach the gospel himself in that sermon or share the good news with you, so much in need of it, in that sermon, he fails to understand what the gospel is. You see, here is the proper relationship between the message and the mission. That without the message, front and center every sermon every Sunday, without the cross of Christ and his saving work, front and center every Sunday, every sinner, every sermon, the mission of the church isn't getting done. No matter how busy you are, no matter how much money you spend, no matter how many programs you put into place. It's very simple. I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified, the mission of the church. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.